Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Wednesday, the 18th of September. Coming up, campaigners say new grammar school built illegally.
This is about the law. This is about the reasons for that law and exploring those reasons and sticking to them. Kent shouldn't just decide we don't, you know, the laws don't apply to us.
Fears no deal Brexit could be worse for Kent than originally thought.
Someone should have started thinking about this a little bit earlier and started to kick it off. You know, the monies that have been given to us recently should have been allocated a good year ago in preparation for this.
And Gillingham boss reacts to 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers.
We said to our players at half time, you have to believe, just go out and play. If we lose, we lose, but get on the ball, express yourself. We're going to commit people forward to score a goal.
Kent Online News.
First today, there are calls for an investigation into a Kent grammar school amid claims it's acting illegally. The Wealds of Kent in Tunbridge opened an annex in Sevenoaks in 2017. Now campaigners say it's acting as a standalone grammar, despite laws preventing new selective schools from being built. Jo's been speaking to Joanne Bartley from Comprehensive Future.
Well, when it set up, there was a very clear law that there is no new grammar schools allowed. So when this school got set up, it sort of tried to prove that it was one school, not two, and that meant movement between the sites of the pupils. So even though the school buildings were 10 miles apart, the pupils would travel between the two sites. But we found out that that's now been dropped. So basically, it produced a very clear plan that this was one school and we're doing all this and we're doing this, that, but kind of like now that all that's been dropped and it's just exactly like a separate school.
What impact does that have? Why is that such a problem? Obviously, it's illegal. That's the main thing, isn't it? But what this is obviously part of a bigger picture looking at bids elsewhere as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, there are now two grammar schools trying to set up similar types of school. In fact, in my town, in Whitstable. So it's kind of like it's very controversial doing this to sort of like create a school that is really breaking the law. If it created a grammar school in Hampshire based on having the same uniform, which is basically the only thing that's the same now, that would be obviously a new school. The fact that it's kind of like subverted the law and made all these sort of plans and then ditched them 2 years later is really quite wrong. There are lots of good reasons that were debated in Parliament when this law was created that said no new grammar schools. So the fact that our council and a few schools who are kind of like ambitious and want to create bigger schools and make money are subverting this law is all very, very dubious. And kind of like, if they want to change the law, go through Parliament. Don't just set up an annex school and pretend that this isn't a new school, because it's acting like a new school. It looks like a new school. Thousands of pupils who go there will think it's a new school. So it is a new school.
From Comprehensive Future's point of view, are you looking at any sort of legal action and looking at any sort of review?
Well, when this school was set up, there's a 3-month window to do a judicial review based on the decision. And this is where you can challenge the plan. And this is where the school said, we're going to take pupils between the two sites, our head teachers going to work on both sites. All these things in that 3-month window were created in this plan by the school, a very detailed plan that our lawyer looked at. And you know, it looked like it was going to work like one school. So a judicial review at that time would have found it very tricky. You know, we wanted to do it, we were very close. But now it is a lot harder to actually challenge the school. You know, they've kind of like been really sneaky. They've set up this plan to get around the law and then they've ditched it as soon as it's impossible to challenge them.
Well, independent education expert Peter Reid has given us his thoughts on those claims.
I think it's a nonsense. The school has the same head teacher, the same governors, staff are shared between the two sites. Most importantly, the 300 children all regard themselves as Weald of Kent girls. Now, whatever this is doing is not going to bring anything about, because where would those 300 girls go if they got rid of the annex? It's a nonsense. Kent County Council has a responsibility as a selective authority to provide sufficient grammar school places. There is a pressing problem in Herne Bay and Whitstable, and we have children who qualify for grammar school places going through to Thanet schools. Now, there is a shortage, and there is a major development area in Herne Bay and Whitstable, and there needs to be, to keep parity, to keep the 25% more grammar school places. Now, an annex, given the current legislation, is the obvious solution.
The Department for Education say they're content the school is operating as one across two sites. The school have confirmed pupils will be taught separately at the different campuses, but come together for extracurricular days.
Kent Online reports.
Elsewhere today, detectives investigating the suspected murder of a man in Maidstone have charged two more men. 21-year-old Andre Bent was stabbed to death in the High Street last month. A 23 and 26 year-old, both from London, are accused of violent disorder. A 16-year-old boy is already being charged with murder. A man remains in a serious but stable condition in a London hospital following an attack in Margate. The victim, who's in his 20s, suffered serious head and leg injuries in Dane Park last month. A 28-year-old man from the town was arrested before being released on bail. Police are still keen to speak to any witnesses. The Home Office are urging those of us near the coast to look out for any suspicious boats as work to clear migrant camps in northern France continues. UK Border Force and immigration officers have been sent to help with the operation. Charities say it's likely to lead to another surge in the number of people attempting to cross the channel illegally.
Kent Online News.
There are fears a no-deal Brexit will have an even worse effect on Kent than originally thought. A document released by the government last week called Operation Yellowhammer warns it could take lorries up to 2.5 days to cross the border from Dover, leading to huge queues on the county's roads. It's now thought tailbacks could stretch to around 150 kilometres. That's the distance from Dover to Guildford in Surrey. Kevin Mills is leader of the Labour group in Dover.
It is concerning. The real concern I've got is, you know, if we've got potential problems, why don't we just become honest with people and tell them, you know, rather than drip feeding bad news, let's say this is a potentially a difficult position. But you know, it is really a concern. Now, from Border Force perspective, if they don't get in the docks, we don't have anything to deal with them. But the knock-on effect to this district, to the roads and the council and the people in this district trying to get to and from work, could be quite devastating should there be, you know, 8,500 lorries that can't actually get into the port in Dover because of paperwork being incorrect. I mean, if they haven't got the correct paperwork and can't be moved on, then you know they've got to either wait somewhere to get that corrected or go back to get it sorted out. So somewhere along the lines there is a potential for, you know, several thousand more lorries floating around till they can actually get out of the country. It depends also where the identification is that the paperwork's wrong. It might be done inland, whatever. So, you know, you want to mitigate it in this port environment, but the last thing we need are additional lorries on our roads around this location. It has the potential to be bad enough without this.
Then what does it do if there are an extra 7,000 lorries just floating around?
Well, they've got to be floating around somewhere, so they'll either it'll be Operation Brock, but these lorries, I'm not sure, would be part of Operation Brock, or they'll have to go back somewhere else, or they're going to have to find facilities to park them in. I mean, the sad reality is we don't have adequate facilities anyway, parking-wise. We know that as a nation. We seem to have avoided discussing that. We're going to have new facilities inland. We're going to utilise Ashford and Ebbsfleet. But, you know, is that going to be adequate? 6,000 lorries at Manston? Well, OK, Manston's going to be turned back into an airport. That's what everybody wants, and rightfully so. So, you know, we're going to lose that facility. Will, you know, the UK be ready and overcome all the teething problems of being out of Europe by then?
Do you have any sort of fears that these are coming out now with 6 weeks before the deadline? What are your feelings about how this has been handled up in Parliament?
I think there's been a lot of spin by everybody in Parliament. You know, politicians putting a spin on it. Well, that's novel, really. I mean, that's been going on for years. But I think we've seen the worst over this whole issue of Brexit from numerous groups from all sides about spinning. And, you know, as I said earlier on, you know, be honest with people. Let people, you know, people aren't stupid. Let them know what the potential impacts can be and how we're going to mitigate against them. I mean, the real concern I've also got is that the government have issued money, given money out to KCC to deal with highways. Dover District Council, I think, got 300,000. We didn't know that money was coming. I don't believe we've spent it yet, but my real concern is if anything goes wrong, will the central government just turn around and say, well, we funded local authorities, it's all their fault, it's nothing to do with us, and step back from actually the responsibility they should be taking?
Do you feel slightly, well, I think it's fair, do you feel slightly unprepared for what could happen?
I'm not convinced we're prepared at district council level to deal with it. I'm not seeing many concerns being raised by the task force we've got at the council. You know, it's a one-party state, the EU exit task force. There's no opposition councillors allowed to be involved. They meet infrequently. You can hardly find out what they're actually up to. And I don't think they're actually giving it the full cognizance it actually deserves at district council level.
And then from a border force hat on, are we prepared?
We are recruiting, as we are told, several hundred more officers. The sad reality is that, you know, that could take anywhere up to 12 months to 18 months to get them trained. We haven't actually got them in yet, and we're supposed to be leaving on the 31st of next month. So it's all very little too late, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the members will give 100%, they'll do whatever they can. But, you know, at the end of the day, someone should have started thinking about this a little bit earlier and started to kick it off. You know, the monies that have been given to us recently should have been allocated a good year ago in preparation for this.
What are your predictions for come November the 1st, or the first week in November, once we've got started, you know, if we have left with no deal? What will Dover look like? What are your predictions?
I think that, well, no one knows what will actually happen should we leave with no deal. I think what you'll see is that, you know, the government will move hell and high water to get as much traffic away from the port that's coming into the United Kingdom as possible. So, you know, they'll try and transit everything. I think we'll try and clear everything away from the point. They don't want to see queues. What we have very little, if any, control over is how goods will be left leaving this country. We can't tell France how to control it. It depends what, you know, is a deal going to be struck, isn't a deal going to be struck. And then you add in this other bit of a leaked report that the Financial Times have got. So, you know, there is a potential for some major gridlock. And I think, was it Yellowhammer that actually said, you know, we're talking months, not sort of days of gridlock. So for this area, it is concerning. I know that the health authority are asking questions now, you know, how do you normally get into work? How will you get into work if you can't get any fuel? Can you put other people up in your houses? I've been told that the Department of Education are asking almost the same questions in schools, and including, you know, to consider stockpiling medicines for the children that need it. So, you know, all this is going on, but there seems to be little strategic direction from the government. And you've got to remember, an awful lot of these freight companies have no experience of dealing with the paperwork for exports. So the potential of mistakes is fairly high at the moment. You know, it's probably in excess of 150,000 companies that export that have never done paperwork like this before. And it's all right the government saying, we're launching a campaign. There's additional cost for these companies, and that additional cost, you know, has to be borne by somebody. The margins in the freight transport are very narrow. So, you know, at the end of the day, if I was running a freight company and being given additional costs, it would be concern to me.
Kent Online reports.
A Raynham mum who stole money from her elderly neighbour has been ordered to pay back more than £250,000. Helen Pavitt took the 87-year-old's life savings and spent it on a mobile home, premium bonds and paying off her own debts. The 51-year-old from Chestfield Close now has 3 months to give the money back, or will have to spend another 2 years behind bars. There's uncertainty today over the future of Margate's Dreamland after the hedge fund that backs the group who run it closed down. It means plans by Sands Heritage Limited to buy the site from Thanet District Council have been thrown into doubt. Dreamland have told us it's still business as usual at the theme park, which has just enjoyed its busiest year since it reopened in 2015. Experts are still searching for a nest following a confirmed sighting of an Asian hornet in Kent. The killer insect was spotted in Ashford last week, and there are concerns it could pose a major threat to any bees in the area. Inspectors now say it may have been an isolated case. A decision is due to be made in the next few weeks about plans to demolish part of an Oast house in Snodland and build a KFC. The fast food chain wants to set up a branch on Hollow Lane, less than half a mile from the Homesdale School. Residents and Chatham and Aylesford MP Tracy Crouch have raised concerns about the proposals.
Kent Online Showbiz.
Liam Payne's been chatting on KMFM about his new single Stack It Up. The former One Direction star told Gary and Laura on Breakfast what he makes of the other members' success.
I often think about this sort of stuff, to be honest with you, and I don't think there is really that. Obviously we all know there's numbers and facts and figures and different things that go around, but the thing is, everyone's been quite successful in their own right in the field that they've tried to take, if that makes sense, because we all do such different things, so it's really difficult to compare us as artists now, because I feel like my competition kind of lies elsewhere, if that makes sense. Mm. And, you know, I mean, look at, some of them have been on and done great tours, some of them have done loads of different campaigns with stuff and whatever else, and you know, I haven't really done any of I haven't done any touring yet, for at least, so I mean, you know, that's something that I've kind of got to get my head around. But yeah, I mean, it's been really great, and I'm so grateful for everybody listening in, and yeah, I just think I'm glad that we're all doing well.
So this new song then, tell us all about it.
I got an email through from the label, and Mr. Ed Sheeran had written me another song with the same person they did the production with for Strip That Down. So I was like, this is amazing, like the best thing, like best day ever. I listened through the song and I was kind of a little bit worried that it was like, it's so money orientated. I was like, I don't, you know, you have to be careful about what message you're kind of sending out.
Yeah.
What are you saying about you? Do you know what I mean? So in my head, the way I actually feel about money and success and those sort of things is like, if you have it, it's amazing, yeah. But if you've got no one to share it with, then it's not really all that. You might as well not have it.
When you're in the video, you're in an amusement arcade, but then you're in a game. You're actually in an arcade game.
Oh, so I
know.
Cool.
How cool is that? What would you be in? If you know, classic arcade games.
I mean, do you know what? Mario Kart.
Yes!
Like Mario Kart looks like the most. But I want to throw some mushrooms. I want to throw shrooms at people.
Yeah, yeah.
What character are you when you play Mario Kart?
I don't know why, but I always choose the evil people.
Oh,
yeah. Not sure what that says about me, but yeah, I like to choose a villain.
I can see his Bowser.
Hey, I was going to say, is that the scary hedgehog looking guy? No,
scary dragon thing.
Yeah, scary dragon thing.
Who's the one that looks like a hedgehog? And I swear
Sonic.
He's spiky.
Yeah, that's
no,
a different
not
game.
Sonic.
He is spiky. Bowser is
maybe
spiky.
Maybe I'm thinking of Bowser,
yeah,
but
I think
maybe
you're mixing up Sonic.
Merging him together. Yeah,
yeah. You just mixed up your animals there.
Yeah. If you missed it, you can listen to the full chat at kmfm.co.uk. Benedict Cumberbatch has been spotted filming in Kent. The world famous actor was shooting scenes on Deal Beach yesterday for a new biopic about Louis Wayne, an artist famous for his drawings of cats.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham have come back from a goal down to get a 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers. Barry Fuller had to go off injured in last night's match, but Tom O'Connor found the back of the net for the Gills at 83 minutes. Boss Steve Evans told us what he thought of their performance away from home.
I wasn't happy with the first half, and I think everyone in the tunnel, the dressing room areas would have helped me. But I was really pleased with the second half. I think we came out, we changed one position at half time, another one, changed the shape. I think as soon as we did that, we were totally dominant. I think we've conceded to probably two chances, one that goes in, the goal, where we back off the kid too easily. And the second one, when the ball gets flighted into Johnson Clark Harris at 1-0, I've seen John, I know what he's capable of. But I also think that we've equalised and then had enough excellent positional play around about their box, and we've. Not very often you hear the Bristol Rovers quiet, especially in the shed end, but they were deadly silent because they were like the team went to get beat. We said to a player, we've always said to our players, we'd rather lose 3-0 and try and score a goal and draw 1-1 or win 2-1. And we've always been a management team that believes in that. And we said to our players at half time, you have to believe. There was then a water break when we changed the system in the second half. Or no, the kid was down injured for Bristol Rovers, and we hope he's got off on a stretcher, which is never a good sign. But we said then, just go out and play. If we lose, but get on the ball, express yourself. And I don't know if people notice, but when we score, we've got one against two for them on the halfway line because we're going to commit people forward to score a goal. He's an outstanding prospect. He's a kid, he's learning. I think that's his fourth or fifth, whatever it is, Football League game. His first goal. He'll have a good career in the game for sure. As long as he remains level-headed and work hard, and he comes from a good Irish family that just demand those standards, and we have no issue about every day when Tom comes in, he comes in with a smile and he wants to go on the training ground and walk hard. So I was pleased for him because his performance was good, as was young Jack Tucker, who got thrown in at right back and then went to right side of a central three at the back, and I thought he was outstanding for one being so young, but we think highly of him as well. So we've got a lot of kids out there tonight, if you look at our ages around the team, so we're pleased, but the chairman brought us in to build something and try and achieve something. So I think we've left 2 points in Bristol. I think that's more of a riding feeling. But there we go. I suppose Graham might have a different view. I think you have to respect the manager and you have to respect your opponents as in players. You certainly have to respect the Bristol Rovers fans. You know, they've given me plenty of stick over the years. But they get the brilliant backing to the team. This is the quietest I've heard them. And some of my staff said that, but they've bossed me year after year. I think they just went silent because they probably didn't think we could play like that. And we've got good players, we've got young players, we've got hungry players. We have the third lowest budget in League One. So we're trying to overachieve, but we can overachieve if we believe.
Gillingham are now 15th in the League One table. That's it for now, but for more news throughout the day, you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.